5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. Pain-free Friday, Pharrell's doling out minutes on the mahogany, waxing it up, 100, 200, a bad seed, a broken day, a bad apple with a bad attitude, hanging around a bunch of bad others, bad taste, bad law, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Magic City Studios in the Pharrell Palatial, right across the room and through the woods from where I just talked to Granny, and she was in the middle of busting off a hash car, Junior Fatty, in New York City. The Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags to bring to traffic. Some kind of fashion shake it up should do. All my friends that come around, flats of party up. Rats on the west side, bed bugs up down with a mess of tats and tatted. My brain splattered all over Manhattan. Should shake it up. Hey, what's gigging? I'm Pharrell. Mafia is running it. And Mafia just told me that the gold medal basketball game on. You know, it's at like 10:45 or something like that Eastern tonight. So 10:30, whatever it is. And it's not on TV. Like, you got to be motherfucking kidding me. Like, you wonder, seriously, why no one, does anyone care about the Olympics? Does anyone actually watch it? Or like, I mean, what do they show, rock climbing? And I mean, honestly, diving, I mean, what in God's name? I guess I saw a couple things, some track and field, some wrestling, some fencing. I mean, could they be duller, these sports? I mean, honestly, how in God's name do you not show the gold medal basketball game with America taking on France?
It looks like they might have it tonight, Scott. It looks like it might be.
Oh, so they are going to, they're going to air it. Thank God. Like, thank God. I see it now. It says France, U.S. But when I looked earlier, like when I looked at the game, like breakdown, it just said 10:30, no TV. Usually, you know, you see the game on whatever, on a website, whatever, whosever it is, and it shows you who's playing and what TV network's carrying it, right? Like if it's on a channel. So I didn't see anything, and I assumed that it wasn't on. And then you told me it was just streaming or something, or on online. Like, you know, honestly, I don't want to watch anything online. I don't want to watch a game on my phone. You know, I have the I do have the ESPN Plus, right? And so, you know, for me, I guess at some level, it's a gigantic waste of time and money because I don't watch anything on it. Like, I mean, I'm just throwing money away because I don't like when I watch the UFC on ESPN Plus, like when I have it on my phone, you know, I'll have it on, but it's like I'm not like really paying attention to it or watching it. We welcome our radio affiliates, SiriusXM, Mightier 1090, SportsMap, Sports Bylines, Pharrell on the Bench. So, you know what I mean? Like, I'm watching a fight. I have it on my phone, but I'm doing other things. So, like, literally, I'll have it next to me as I'm sitting on the couch, watching TV, watching another game, watching something, a movie, whatever it is. And then I have, like, my phone carrying the fights with the volume basically off. And so what? The pictures, you know, just the half picture is the top of my phone. I don't have it sideways in the whole phone. And even if I did, it's still like, it's just not adequate enough for me. I got to tell you, Mafia, I get no viewing pleasure at all trying to watch a fight on my phone. And I don't go up and sit on a computer and do it. And I don't sit and have it on a laptop. Just so you know, the laptop I have, I use for the network, right? I have it set up in the Magic City Studios. I'm looking at it right now. And I really don't touch it or mess with it because it's so delicate, right? Like our operation, right? Like, so I don't have, you know, every day. Do you remember when we first started and we would bring the computer every single day to the studio and set it up and do all this nonsense? Now I just have it, right, like set up in the studio in front of the cameras and lights, and it just stays there. I don't have anything else on it. I don't have a bunch of, you know, windows open. I don't have sports going on it. I don't have scores going on it. I react off of my phone, but I don't watch sports on my phone. Now, I can. Obviously, I could watch anything I want on the phone. I could watch ESPN Plus, I can watch a million games. Like when they have ESPN Plus as hockey, I'll be able to watch any game I want on my phone. I just don't do it.
Believe it or not, you can listen too much to us.
I mean, it's possible.
Get to know your family again. Did you know your wife cries herself to sleep every night?
That's what she told us.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Mafia is questioning my integrity. I just said that a couple things. One, I'm watching Jamaica. They roast the U.S. in this 4x100. I mean, they roasted them by like 30 yards. And, you know, they finished first for the gold, and the U.S. finished second for the gold or for the silver. And I'm sitting there watching, and I'm going, I mean, they are just absolutely smoking them. Like, I mean, she beat her by 20 yards. And I'm sitting there watching and I'm going, and it was 41-02 to 41-45. And that's like really honestly getting smoked in a race. And then you remember when Usain Bolt used to do it, he used to roast them by even more than that. Right. But my thing is like, and I'm not even being mean. I just don't get it. I don't get it because they're all the same. I mean, are they not? They're like eight black chicks hauling ass, and they all have giant legs. They're trained like they're meticulous athletes. They're absolutely the fastest women in the world, right? And they smoke us. And I don't get it because they're winning by so much that like I'm like, are they drugging them? How is it that they win by that much when they are all the same in terms of athletically? You can look at them yourself, Mafia. They all look the exact same. If you took the uniforms off of them, they would all look like some elite track athlete women, all black, and they would all, you wouldn't be able to tell what team they were on. If I mixed them up in a room And then I said, what team is she on? You wouldn't be able to tell me. They all look the same, identical. It's like a movie. And then when it's all said and done, you put the uniforms on them and it says Jamaica, it says US. They smoke us. I mean, smoke us like a doobie. And I'm saying, why is that? Why are they so much faster than the Americans? And don't tell me it's like money or training or anything like that, that they have some kind of what? They run in the sand at the beach? Down by the beach, boy. I don't get why they're so much faster than the Americans. Because you know the Americans have the ultimate training, the best of the best. They have everything. Money talks. That's all there is to it. And I guarantee you they got more money than Jamaica, the training facilities and everything else. You know they do. I mean, Jamaica's an incredible place. I've been there. I love it. But you can't tell me it's not like third world compared to the U.S. That's just all there is to it, fiscally and every other reason. Explain to me, Mafia, why they win by so much. Every track and field event, they smoke us. And I think it's drugs. It's that simple.
There's so many events in these Olympics. I mean, in every Olympics, but especially like you watch some of them, and even some of the smaller ones, like the one time I had it on during prime time, it was like, you know, the diving competition. And it's like they said like the Chinese team like crushes it, like the last like eight Olympics or something like that, they win gold, and like some of them gold and silver. For some reason, they just destroy everybody in that. You know, the Jamaicans are always on the track and field. There's just certain sports that you, I don't know why, that because you're cycling through. I mean, yeah, maybe you for an Olympics or two, you're getting the same people. You're not getting the same runners three or four times in a row in these Olympics. And still, for the last 20 years, they kick our butts. I can't understand it. I can't explain it. Just for some reason, there are some countries that just dominate certain sports.
I know, but I mean, let's like, fair enough, but put that aside, like the, you know, certain sports where they dominate, fair enough, and look at it like logistically, like just running track races, just in track and field only, in track and field, in the history of track and field, you can't even deny that America in the U.S. in the track and field, the history of the Olympics, track and field, the U.S. has always been dominant, always been incredible. And I won't deny that Jamaica's been on an incredible, let's just say, 20-year window of excellence, right? With Usain Bolt, then they all started winning, the women, the men, everything. Fair enough. But my question is, why have they gotten so much faster than Americans at running these races where they blow us out and they all look the same? There's no way you can tell me they're trained in better facilities or with more money or with more, you know, coaching or anything else. Do you see where I would say that you'd have to wonder if there's synthetics involved? Where I'm being serious. Like, I don't get how it can happen unless it's synthetics. Because not only, now if they were winning every race by a nose at the, like a, you know, photo finish, like at the, you know, Breeders' Cup, like photo finish by a nose. If it was a photo finish, I wouldn't even question it. I'd be like, great race, we lost, you lose, that's it. What an incredible race. But what I'm saying is they are smoking us. And I'm talking about blowing everyone out in the race. I mean, just as we were watching that race, you heard me. I was like, what is happening here? I was like, they are blowing everyone out. I mean, the race was over. It was a 4x100. And after the first leg, it was over. It was over. The second, third, and fourth were meaningless. And they blew everyone out. And my point is, it's about training, coaching, speed, and money. These Olympics, that's just all there is to it over the years, right? And then I'm sitting here watching these Jamaican chicks just blowing out the Americans. And I just wonder if there's synthetics involved. And I'm not naming anyone or accusing them. I'm just saying it seems like that's the only logical explanation to me. Because I don't get how a sport like track and field that the U.S. has dominated since literally Hitler. I mean, that literally, that now they get blown out just blown out of the water. I don't understand that at all, unless I'm like, I wonder if synthetics are involved. I mean, seriously, like, how can it be? You tell me, Mafia, forget about all the other sports.
Right.
Do you see where I'm coming from? I'm like,
I do.
It's one thing to lose. It's another thing to get motorboated. I mean, they get just smoked.
And not only that, like, you see all these things, and there's so many times, like, it's like every race, all of a sudden, the person that wins is setting another world record. They have it in the swimming, too, or, like, they have that shot put, and the guy that won set the world record, like, three times. Right. In one competition, like, all right, you're going to tell me that they couldn't throw that far for the last 30 years, and now all of a sudden the last, like, 5 years, these guys are just breaking the world record every time there's a competition, and there's no fishiness? Okay.
Do you think that the chicks, because, you know, there's the one chick with the bright green hair, she's incredible, right. But she lost the 100 to the other chick, and the chick that won the 100 won the 200 as well. And the girl with the green hair that everybody knows, the little chick, she just was in that 4x100. So was the chick that won the 100 and 200. And they blew everyone out. Do you think it's just that those two are faster than everybody? And it's just that simple. They're just the two best in the world right now. And they win big every race because they're better than everybody. Or do you think there's drugs involved? Or do you think they drug test them at the Olympics and that I'm tripping?
No, because just because you drug test doesn't mean nobody's cheating. How many years are they doing the Tour de France without anybody catching them? How many years were the Russians doing it for the Olympics until they finally got busted with their program? There's always cheating. There's always somebody. It's just, when do they finally catch the person that's doing it, or people? It's not even ever just one. So there could be. We'll see. I mean, I think those two chicks are incredible, and obviously they're way faster than everybody else. But still, it's a four-person team. At some point, there's got to be some catch-up, and for some reason, they just can't.
Mafia, have you ever been to Jamaica?
I have not, no.
No. Well, I was going to race in the Olympics, and I ended up smoking too many fatties down at the beach and drinking too many rum cocktails to ever get to the track and field to train. They were going through the motions. They were lifeless.
I don't like that or condone that at all.
I play it straight up, yo.
Pharrell on a bench with Mafia, and Matt Fairborn is with The Athletic. He covers the Bills, and he also, I believe, works with our boy Tim Graham. They do a podcast together. Very dangerous combination, these two. And tonight we have Matt on the bench to talk about the Josh Allen deal and the Bills. And I think there's a rumor, Matt, that as usual, Graham was half in the bag. So he's like, call Fairborn. I'm busy drinking.
That sounds like Tim. I'm not going to lie to you. We were supposed to get together this afternoon for a little happy hour thing at around 4 o'clock. And this news came down a couple hours before that. And, you know, seeing as I'm on the day-to-day beat and Tim has, you know, become a larger than life feature writer, you know, tackling big projects, he can have his Friday afternoons off when big news breaks. But I had to chase this down while Tim enjoyed his Friday.
All right. So so let me get it straight. So it's Fairburn, right? You've this is the first time you've been on with us. He's been coming on with me for I don't even know. It seems like 2.5 decades I've been, because I used to drink with him in Vegas. Has he ever told you how much booze he used to drink with me?
He has, actually, because we've spent many hours on the road together, and, you know, your show's on all over the place. And I believe we've had you on the show before as well. And I've heard some tales about Tim's time in Vegas, but I'd certainly love to hear more.
Yeah, I mean, oh, man, I can't even begin to tell you. Like, he was such a trip because back in the day, long before he started covering, like, the NFL, he was doing, like, you know, Vegas sports and covering boxing. And that's how I knew him, because I've been doing boxing now for almost, you know, 40 years. And I'm like 56 now. I'm still cool, but I guess I am old. I still ball every day of my life, so I still got game, but I am old. And I've been drinking with him since I think I've been allowed to drink. And all I know is the first time I ever started partying with Tim was at fights, like at boxing events where I'd be in there for all the big, you know, title fights and whatever. He's just a great guy. And then he eventually moved back east and he was covering like the NFL and the AFC East. And then he went back to Buffalo and started covering the Bills. And then he ended up at the Athletic. How did you end up there?
Yeah, I started covering the Bills in 2014, right out of college, and for like a smaller paper. And then when the Athletic was launching, they reached out, and it was myself, John Vogel, who covered the Sabres with Tim for years when he was covering hockey. And then they were able to reel Tim in as well, because things weren't going too well at the Buffalo News. And it was a really... It was pretty great for me. I mean, I had been competing against Tim, you know, getting my ass kicked by him for years. So I was happy to have him as a teammate. And, you know, you guys know he's one of the most talented writers in the country. And you know, he's an even better dude. He's been an awesome teammate to have, for sure.
Right. So before I get into the Bills, you mentioned the Sabres, and I hurled across the room. I cannot believe, to be honest with you, what's happened to the Buffalo Sabres. Can you explain to me how they have gotten this anemic? Frankly, I don't get it. I think the Pegulas are rich. I think they spend a lot of money. I think they have the Bills in an unbelievable predicament. And I think the Sabres are an entirely different disaster. I can't even fathom. I said the other day on the TV show that, you know, in the Northeast, wherever there's snow and ice, there should be some decent hockey, right? Like, that's where, when I grew up in Chicago and Pittsburgh, as a little kid in Chicago, and then the rest of my life I've lived in Pittsburgh, you know, it's snowing and blowing and there's blizzards and there's hockey. And then, like in Buffalo, there's bigger blizzards and there's hockey. How is it that their hockey is like, you know what? That team is so bad, they should be in Florida or something. And the Lightning should be playing in Buffalo. I mean, wouldn't you agree with that at some point? Like, they're so bad for so long now that I can't even describe it to anyone anymore other than it's like vomit. I mean, what has happened to let that team get so bad that they can't even trade a superstar because they're so stupid?
It's honestly unbelievable. I mean, I got here in 2014. I grew up north of Boston in Massachusetts near New Hampshire. So I grew up right. playing hockey and knew hockey. And when I got to Buffalo, the whole thing was, you know, moving to a hockey town. I'm going to cover pro football, but I'm living in a hockey town, which is cool. You know, I like hockey people and I like being around right. people that are excited about hockey. They were tanking at the time to get Eichel, which they did. And the whole thought was, hey, in a couple of years, this will be a team worth watching. And here we are 7 years later, they're trying to get rid of Eichel and they can't even do it. We were all joking today after this Josh Allen contract came down that it would be a great time for the Sabres GM to slip in a Jack Eichel trade, even if it wasn't an ideal return, just to dump the bad news, you know, while everybody was partying over the Josh Allen deal. I don't know. You know, you mentioned the Pegulas are rich. They're not quite as free spending as they were when they bought the team however many years ago. They've tightened their belt a little bit. And, you know, during COVID and all that, they were laying a bunch of people off. And I think, you know, they're not quite as cash happy as they were before. You know, they aren't spending the same way and they don't have the right people in place. I mean, they went cheap on the GM they just hired. They trimmed down the scouting staff. It's looking like another rebuild. I don't know exactly if you can even call it a rebuild because you have to have something to rebuild. It's from the ground up now. And the fact that they are basically the embarrassment of the league because everybody knows they have this star player and they won't trade him. I mean, the product on the ice has been embarrassing enough, and now, you know, they're dealing with the same exact thing. You know, now they're dealing with this off-ice embarrassment. It's gotten pretty bad. The Pegulas are pretty lucky they have the Bills, say it that way.
So, like, you know, when I watch Jack play, and I've been a hockey guy my whole life, and all of us, Mafia, Carver High, Tim will tell you, we're all a bunch of hockey drunks. I mean, we watch more hockey than anyone. And I got to tell you, I know the game like the back of my hand. I even was an NHL play-by-play guy. People laugh all they want, but I brought it. When I did that season with the Thrashers, no one ever said I sucked. People are like, that dude's crazy. And they're like, he's completely nuts, and he's exciting, and he's entertaining. But I couldn't take it. They were so bad. And the Sabres remind me of them. That's how bad they suck. But the one thing I know is that I can look in a guy. I know every player in the league. They all know me, and I'm friends with a lot of them. And they know that I know the game, and I'm not even BSing you. And I know when I can look in a guy's face when he's playing hockey that he's miserable. I mean, that kid looks so miserable playing hockey for them. He looks like he'd rather be knitting sweaters with his grandmother than playing hockey in the NHL. They have ruined him to the point of he's going to knit sweaters with his grandmother. I mean, he is on the verge of losing his mind. They have ruined him so badly. He doesn't even like playing hockey anymore. And it's written all over his face. He might as well have a billboard on top of his helmet that says, I hate this sport now because of the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, he's 24 years old. Can you believe that? I mean,
it's
the
crazy.
Guy is 20, have you ever seen a 24-year-old so with so little life? I mean, the guy, he should be enjoying himself a lot more. He's playing a kid's game, and you're right. There's no happiness there. There's no joy. And you see it every time he talks to reporters. You see it, you know, all the time. And it's partly, you know, what the Sabres have done, right? The fact that they just can't win. And this guy is a guy that has won at every step of his career. He grew up, you know, about 20 minutes from where I'm from. And, you know, this guy, everywhere he went, he won. And then he gets to the NHL. He's probably, you know, all his buddies across the league are winning playoff games, playing in playoff games, and he hasn't even sniffed it. And then he has this health situation with his neck, and he wants to get a certain procedure done, and the Sabres won't let him. And so now they're at this medical standstill, and this guy has essentially wasted all these years of his career. You know, 24 is still pretty young, but you know, that's a lot of years of his career that he wasted, exactly like you're talking about, just losing the love of the game. And the Sabres have done this to a lot of guys. Ryan O'Reilly was, you know, borderline depressed when he was here. Robin Lehner really wasn't enjoying, you know, playing here. These guys leave and they do great things. They've, you know, Ryan O'Reilly wins a cup. Robin Lehner, you know, left and has been playing great. Right. I think that's probably the big fear in Buffalo. They're gonna trade Jack Eichel, and they're gonna start. You know, he's gonna go on and become the MVP.
Hey, so hold on, Matt Fairburn with us. He's great from the Athletic. I like this guy already, Mafia. Don't go anywhere, Matt. We got a lot more to talk bad about the Sabres and the Bills because I love the deal with the Bills.
It's not your wife. It's not your kids. It's not your neighbor. And it sure isn't your boss. Only we understand you. We are your friends. You're listening to The Winning Edge. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, Pharrell on the bench. We're talking to Matt Fairburn with The Athletic in Shuffle Off to Buffalo. He covers the Bills. But before I get to that, I want to finish this conversation. So you grew up outside of Boston in New Hampshire, and you obviously love hockey. You played hockey growing up. Where did you go to school And because everyone I know that grows up around here goes to a hockey school, or, you know, goes to one of these schools that has a hockey program. And then, like, how did you get into journalism? Like, cause you obviously, you're a young dude. You just got out like 8 years ago or something like that, whatever it is. And now you got this great career going. You're doing excellent things. You're writing for The Athletic. You're doing radio, podcasts, everything else. And you're really cool and you love hockey. Did it all start? You were playing hockey, chasing chicks, getting in fist fights, playing hockey, and then you go to a hockey school and you end up going to broadcasting or journalism school. What happened?
I went to Mizzou to their journalism school.
All right.
Right
Columbia.
Out of high school, because, yeah, I played a little, say I played a tiny bit of, like, I was on the practice squad for like a junior B team while I was in high school playing hockey. And I realized after about, you know, a couple of months of practicing, getting into a few scrimmages, I was like, there's a gap between where I'm at and whether I'm going to play college hockey. I did pretty well in school and, you know, I had a pretty, you know, serious talk with my dad and was just like, look, I don't think, you know, I could play juniors for a few years and, you know, live at your house and maybe play D3, or I could just go to college and, like, do what I'm actually decent at and, you know, try to make a living and, you know, just get on with my life. And that's what I decided to do. I still would play in, you know, beer leagues and, you know, when I would be back home, and I play out here once in a while, but yeah, I kind of just at 18 realized that I wasn't going to make it to the show. And so I had to kind of figure out a different way to get there, I guess was the best way to put it. But, I got a little bit of a taste of it. My claim to fame is that Kevin Hayes scored a hat trick on me. I was a goalie. So, I played with a couple guys that were on like the fringes of the NHL. Kevin Hayes was the best guy I played against. That's the cool part about playing in Massachusetts, but I was too much of a sieve to ever make it beyond playing, you know, D2 public high school in Massachusetts.
Well, listen, Columbia is a great place. Missouri Journalism School is as good as it gets. You got, I've always told anyone that'll listen, which is not many people, but in terms of talking about the exciting conversation of journalism schools at the dinner party, that'll put everyone to sleep and that'll make a chick run to your like buddy instead of your bed. But it's Indiana, Missouri, Northwestern, Syracuse, right? Like, I mean, the bottom line is Northwestern, if I didn't include that, I may have missed it. I have early for Alzheimer's, but I think, you know, for me, for journalism, for J school, because Syracuse to me is more of a broadcasting school. J school, Ernie Pyle in Bloomington, that's where I went. I got my degree there. And Northwestern and Missouri, to me, are the three best in the country. So you went there. Now listen to this. My dad went to Duke, but he went to Missouri as well for his master's in journalism and broadcasting. And he ended up working at KC in Kansas City. He ended up, and in St. Louis, he worked at KMOX and he worked at CBS in Kansas City. And he was an anchor man. And when he was at Missouri, he covered football and basketball and everything else. But he became an anchor man because he had a golden throat. I have a whiskey, doobie, cigarette, gravel, and sucker punch voice, which is different than a golden throat, as you know. So he had a very deep voice and he did the evening news. And a lot of people thought he would have been like Tom Brokaw one day. But what happened was in 1965, CBS struck and they struck for a year and not one person in the business had a job for a year. So my dad was like, screw this. And he ended up working in PR with U.S. Steel. And he ended up at the top of U.S. Steel for 43 years. He was a big shot executive and ran U.S. Steel. And so he left broadcasting and then his son ended up in it. So my uncle played football at Columbia and to this day lives in Kansas City, and he went to Mizzou. And then I worked at KCTV5 when I was at Indiana in an internship one year. And I worked for like Kevin Harlan, and he was an anchor, a sports anchor at KCTV5. And I worked for other people, Gene Fox, Jack Harry, all these people in Kansas City. So I know all about where you went to college, how great it is. And I think it probably paved the way for your career like nothing else, like I'm assuming, correct?
Oh, it 100% did. And as you can imagine, like growing up in Massachusetts, like, you know, and nobody had any idea. I was just Googling, you know, the best journalism schools, and everybody would say Syracuse or, you know, go to BU or stuff like that. But Mizzou popped up, and I realized it was way cheaper to go to Mizzou than it was to go to a lot of the private schools around Boston and or go to Syracuse or Northwestern, how much that costs. So I was like, well, this is the cheapest, you know, option, and apparently it's the best journalism school in the country. And you're right, without it, I don't know where I would be, because I was mostly, you know, I was good in English and I was good in stuff like that, but I didn't have any real newspaper experience or anything in high school. I was sort of going in blind. It was like, well, I like sports and I like to write, so let's see if I can make this happen. And going to Mizzou, you're kind of thrown into the deep end. It's, you know, tons of kids around the country that's all they've ever wanted to do, and it definitely brought the best out of me. It's crazy the amount of names. I mean, people you're rattling off and, you know, the people you see and you know, with stuff hanging up in the hallways at Mizzou, it's kind of an insane deal that this place in the smack dab in the middle of the country is, you know, producing some of the best journalists. But I loved it. It was, you know, great 4 years. Wouldn't trade it for anything.
So when I was at Indiana at Ernie Pyle, I was crazy, right? I was, I was on the radio, and not a college station. I was on a real station that was owned by a radio company out of Chicago. And and I worked like 60 hours a week on the radio. I DJed overnight and I did sports reports and covered Indiana basketball and football and soccer and did all this stuff like you did at Missouri. Right. And, I was on ABC News, gave me a full scholarship. I was so busy in broadcasting and so into it and so huge in it that I ended up getting, a full ride because of it. And, but Indiana, I'm just being honest. Like what happened was, like, I was such an animal that they won't even acknowledge that I went to school there. Right. Like I have been working at the highest level of broadcasting. I've been nationally syndicated for like 30 years. I've been on CBS in New York for 25 years. And my show's been a national sports talk show for like basically 30 years straight. Right. And I'm not even buttering my bread. I'm just telling you, you don't do that. You just don't do that. And doing TV and movies and everything else that I've done. And then like you got like Dick Enberg went to Indiana, and everybody, they always talk about Dick Enberg going there. I went to Indiana, this Ernie Pyle School of Journalism. They won't even acknowledge that I went to school there. That's how much they think of me in Bloomington.
That's unbelievable.
That's funny.
As much accomplishment as anything. Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty great accomplishment. I mean, and I know Indiana is a pretty good party school. That's another place that people wouldn't think. You know, we had to cover a game there my senior year, so I know a little bit about Indiana. I'm pretty, you know, they brag about Jared from Subway. You know, that was his
right.
That was his town, Bloomington. John
didn't he become
camp,
a pedophile?
They brag about him.
I think
he certainly did. Yeah. So that, you know, he's still more.
I did better than him. I did way better than him.
He certainly did.
Now Mafia is very mad at me because I've spent so much time BSing with you about all these other things that I have not gotten down to the meat and potatoes of why I called you. He's very upset with me based on the time that I have left. How much time do I have left, Mafia? So let me ask you this question. I think the deal for Josh Allen was the smartest deal I've seen, because I've been saying it for months on TV. They got to get this deal done with this guy before they screw it up like the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think it was a good time to get it done for a couple reasons. They beat the Ravens and the Browns to the punch, right? You know, Lamar Jackson probably would have, you know, raised the price a little bit, but they also do it before the salary cap goes up next year. And they get in the door with some manageable cap hits early on. It sounds like it was a pretty hectic process here the last few weeks. Brandon Bean had some sleepless nights. Josh Allen had some sleepless nights. They both wanted to get it done, and they both wanted some different things, and they were able to compromise. But I think you're right. You know, in terms of getting this thing done, you know, there's a few things you can do as a general manager that are the high pressure items. Drafting a quarterback is number one. Once you find that quarterback, not screwing it up is number two. And that's, you know, I talked to Brandon Bean today, and he mentioned, he's like, you feel the weight of the organization on you, because it's like you have this guy and you realize not every general manager has this guy. And so you want to make sure you keep him happy, you keep him in town, and you also get him at a manageable price before he can, you know, kind of hold your feet to the fire and really get even more money. So I think it's, you know, time will tell who Josh Allen becomes and how many times he can help the Bills get close to a Super Bowl. But the way the contract's structured, they have a good 2 to 4 year window here where his cap hit's manageable, and they should be able to make a run at this thing.
So I got 90 seconds. Do you think they can take the next step, because they got to the title game and lost? Do you think that this guy in this 6 year window wins the Super Bowl?
I think he's got a shot. Yeah, I would say they've got a shot to do it. It's hard. I think they're going to be in a position knocking on the door, but I don't think he wins the Super Bowl, because I'm not betting against Patrick Mahomes. It's hard to get through Patrick Mahomes, and the Bills have looked inferior to the Chiefs every time they match up against them the last couple of years. So the best they can ask for is that this guy's going to have them in contention. Football can be kind of random. Maybe Patrick Mahomes gets hurt. Maybe, you know, the Bills are the healthier team. Maybe the defense catches Patrick Mahomes on a good day, or maybe somebody else knocks Patrick Mahomes out before the Bills get to him. So I think that's where the Bills are. If you're right there with the Chiefs, you're going to be in the conversation. But, man, I don't know if I would sit here and bet on the Bills winning the Super Bowl in the next 6 years, but I think they'll be hanging out in the conversation.
I got to tell you, I think he's awesome. I think he's got Jim Kelly's arm, and I think he's got feet that Kelly never had, and he's got big stones. The guy runs the ball when you least expect it. He's big. He's strong. He's fairly quick. He'll run over you. He'll take you on. He'll smash into you. He'll get the extra yards. He'll get the first down. He'll throw it, sling it. Receivers everywhere want to play with him. Players want to go to Buffalo and play and freeze their ass off. It's a good sign. It's all because of him. And I think that coach is doing a hell of a job, too. I think they're a dangerous team. Hey, look, I look forward to having you on the show again. And let me bring you back for a minute here. Don't go anywhere. That's the problem with people. Everybody expects every team in the effing league to win the Super Bowl. One team wins. The rest of them lose. All right, we're talking to Matt Fairburn. Real quick, I got 90 seconds, Matt. They've owned the Steelers the last couple of years, the Bills in Pittsburgh and in Buffalo. Now they're opening against them in the B-low. You think they'll handle them again? Because I really do. I respect the hell out of the Bills. I just have to hate them because I'm a Steeler fan.
Yeah, I think that I would bet on that for sure. I think the Steelers are kind of nearing the end of this current run they have with Ben Roethlisberger. I think catching them earlier in the year is tough, because usually Big Ben can string together a few useful weeks earlier in the year, but I don't know, if I'm in a survivor pool, I'd be tempted to pick the Bills at home. First time that place will be sold out and, you know, full capacity since 2019, against a team that I think they're better than in just about every way. That's a game I think the Bills should absolutely win and do so, you know, somewhat convincingly.
And then 20 seconds. Will they get their new stadium?
Man, that's a huge, huge question around here. I hope they do, because I don't feel like moving. But it's going to be complicated. There's going to be a lot of negotiations that need to happen with the state. I think eventually they will get it, because Buffalo is pretty desperate to keep this team. I think the Pagulas know that, and that's why they're trying to squeeze them for every penny they're worth.
All right. Hey, you're great. It's awesome having you on. Thanks for hanging so long. And we'll get you back on throughout the season. Tell Tim I said hi. Great job on the bench tonight. Have a great weekend, Matt.
No, thanks so much for having me. Enjoy your weekend.
There he is, Matt Fairburn with The Athletic, covers the Bills on the bench. USA up on France right now. We'll delve into the game when we come back.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. After I give everything I've got to land a perfect vocal, I usually take five before jumping into the next track. And I've learned exactly how to recharge in that time. Some folks grab coffee. I hit a quick good luck spin. Next thing you know, the break is just as fun as laying down the track. A better break makes for a better take. Need a break? Less Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNC supply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.